Good evening, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Thursday, January 30th. Those of you who are following along at home, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including qmap.pub, qanon.pub, qalerts.app/posts, as well as a number of other websites. If you have an Android device and you'd like to get notifications on your phone, qmap and qalerts are the apps that I have, and they work pretty good most of the time. My theme for this broadcast is Impeachment Ends. And we are going to start out with a video. Carly was cued for this tweet and video. People who do not like President Trump would love to prolong the impeachment trial in the Senate. One of the goals is to prevent Lindsey Graham's Senate Judiciary from investigating issues related to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, among others. So Lindsey Graham explained why the impeachment hoax is about to come to an abrupt end. Let you listen to this video.
And experience with the president discussing what he described in effect as a quid pro quo. Yeah. Why not hear from John Bolton to describe that?
I can assume the following, that the president suspended the aid for a period of time to make sure the Bidens were looked at by the Ukraine, and that the Ukrainians would look at allegations of election interference in 2016. What has been clear to me in this trial, that there's every reason in the world to want to look at Hunter Biden's conduct, that the public purpose that we're talking about is that when Joe Biden, my friend, got up in front of the Ukrainian parliament and said, the time for sweetheart deals is over in the energy sector, his son receiving $3 million from Burisma undercut that message, and that will be pursued outside of impeachment. That, to me, is a legitimate point of inquiry, even if you assume the facts most favorable to the government. And this is not a crime. This is a partisan impeachment. And I'm hoping a few Democrats will say, I don't like President Trump, I don't agree with his policies, but we should never do this again, because the House in Republican hands, trust me, could do the same thing, and I may find myself in a position of where a partisan impeachment comes to the Senate involving a Democrat, and I hope I would rise to the occasion.
Sir, on what do you base your increasing optimism that you'll block witnesses?
Everybody believes that there's a scintilla of evidence that the Bidens were involved in business practices that undercut U.S. foreign policy interests in the Ukraine. The manager said, this is a hoax, it's been debunked, it hasn't, if there's not a scintilla of evidence. I would argue if you can find a scintilla of evidence, then it makes the president's concerns reasonable, non-personal, and all you need to do is show a public motive, not an exclusively, solely personal motive. I buy what Dershowitz is saying.
Have you heard there are fewer than four votes, four Republican votes?
I think Mr. Dershowitz says, convince people, you can assume the facts, as you said, most favorable to the government, and still find that the evidence would suggest there's a scintilla of reason.
So Q posted a link to that tweet, impeachment end, then we have in brackets, attempts to send new articles to the Senate to delay. Yes, Adam Schiff has been trying to add charges to the impeachment articles to drag this thing out. Fortunately for us, he's not in charge of what happens in the Senate. Then Q wrote State of the Union. That State of the Union address is going to be next week. We'll cover that in a second. Boomerang, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. All right, so President's going to give the State of the Union address on February 4th. There is a Washington Examiner article that just came out that people who are familiar with the matter said that the president plans to use the State of the Union address to do a little bit of a victory lap, but also to extend an olive branch to Democrats in the House and ask them to work together for the good of the country. So corrupt people have fought to keep the world in bondage. The president has withstood their attacks, and he will be victorious. This is a war. Our country and the world are being freed from the grip of tyrannical despots. So moving along, Q posted this. It is a repost from a drop from September 19th to 2018, where an Anon asked, are they going to continue to hide behind sexual misconduct or will the truth come out? And Q responded, sexual misconduct is a public shelter to accept resignations of people in Congress and CEOs. Watch those who are announcing 2020 presidential running. You cannot attack a political opponent. None are protected. None are safe. So back in September of 2018, Q was predicting that people who would run for president would be doing so that they could claim, if Trump came after them or if the Department of Justice came after them for their crimes, they could just say it was a political attack. And that's exactly what's happening with Joe Biden. Q wrote, reposted that drop and said, these people are stupid. Joe Biden's corruption is going to be exposed. And I do not think he's going to get the nomination. Joe is probably going to end up in jail. All right. In 2017, talked about this on my last broadcast last night, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that he had created a special team, a task force, to investigate leaks inside the intelligence community. And on November 15th of that year, the DOJ confirmed they had 27 open investigations. U.S. Attorney Durham, it was one of the people that was tasked to investigate leaks. So Q posted a link to that article and said, worth remembering, the whistleblower, in brackets, and the source 1 and 2 National Security Council, Q. More information is coming out about this whistleblower who filled out this complaint, whistleblower complaint, about the president and his phone call to Ukrainian President Zelensky. He, it seems, has been working with a couple other people, and I think Q is letting us know that those people are under investigation. Probably, maybe they don't know about it, and they're going to end up getting swept up in a criminal investigation. So, Paul Sperry posted a photo from 2015 of Eric Ciaramella. He is the suspected of being the whistleblower, along with Michael Carpenter and Liz Zentos. So they're in this picture, Liz Zentos. So he said, breaking, Eric Ciaramella, the CIA operative believed to be the whistleblower, is captured in this 2015 photo, taking notes between Biden advisor Michael Carpenter and National Security Counsel Liz Zentos in a White House meeting with Ukrainian officials. Carpenter later appeared with Biden in the infamous son of a bitch video. I'll have that for you in just a minute. So in this picture, Carpenter is identified as a guy wearing the green tie in this video, famous video where Joe Biden is talking about, he's bragging about getting a Ukrainian prosecutor fired. And okay, he's over here next to Ciaramella in this photo, so it'd be this guy right here. And, you know, if you haven't heard this video, let's listen to Joe talk about getting the Ukrainian prosecutor fired.
I'll give you one concrete example. I was, not I, but it just happened to be, that was the assignment I got. I got all the good ones. So I got Ukraine. And I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, right, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
All right, well, that's Joe confessing to what looks like a quid pro quo, which is what we call him, quid pro quo Joe. Q posted links to those two tweets by Paul Sperry and said, remember these names, Q. So again, I think these people are going to be in the news pretty soon, and not in a good way. Supreme Court Justice Roberts would not read a question from Rand Paul during yesterday's impeachment trial because it contained the name of the guy who was believed to be the whistleblower. Rand Paul tried again this morning to get the question read and the same result. So he actually came out during a break and read the question out loud to the press, and the media got kind of upset about it. But Rand Paul is not backing down on this issue. So Rand Paul said, my question today is about whether or not individuals who were holdovers from the Obama National Security Council and Democrat partisans conspired with Adam Schiff staffers to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings. And that is what we're finding out, that this whole thing has been in the works for a long time. And then Rand Paul says, my exact question was, are you aware that the House Intelligence Committee staffer Sean Misko had a close relationship with Eric Ciaramella while at the National Security Council together? And are you aware that, and how do you respond to reports that Ciaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot impeaching the president before there was a formal House impeachment proceeding? And he says his question was not about a whistleblower. He said, I have no independent information on his identity. My question is about the actions of known Obama partisans within the National Security Council and House staff and how they're reported to have conspired before impeachment proceedings ever began. So Q posted a link to Rand Paul's tweet and no comment. It has been reported, this is a Daily Wire article, that the whistleblower was overheard discussing how to remove the president from office. And this was in January, at the end of January, just a couple of weeks after the president was inaugurated. So, like I said, this has been in the works for a long time. And Anon posted a video that had comments from Nancy Pelosi about the Senate impeachment trial. I will let you listen to this video.
When this is over, do you think that President Trump will be chastened and understand that he's got a Congress watching him, or will he be emboldened because the Senate will have acquitted him?
Well, he will not be acquitted. You cannot be acquitted if you don't have a trial, and you don't have a trial if you don't have witnesses and documentation and that. I would hope that the senators, if it comes to a tie, or if there's a question of hearing testimony or receiving documents, would leave it up to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Republican appointed in a Republican majority court, I would think that they would have confidence in the Chief Justice of the United States. That's really his title. And that's interesting to me that they're afraid of breaking a tie with the Chief Justice of the United States. Does the president know right from wrong? I don't think so.
All right, so according to Nancy Pelosi, the president will never be acquitted because there wasn't a real trial. I guess if that's the way you live, you're welcome to think that way. In her weekly address, Pelosi accused the president of violating the Constitution. This is posted by an Anon. So Q responded to the Anons, will the Supreme Court hear a case regarding the legality of impeachment articles drafted by the House, in brackets, clean record? So it looks like Q is suggesting that the president's attorneys are going to take the impeachment articles to the Supreme Court and have them declared unconstitutional. I think that's a great idea. Q wrote, fail to support Constitution in brackets, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, partisan politics, Q. And this is the point that Alan Dershowitz and all of Trump's attorneys have been arguing, that if you're going to write up articles of impeachment, they need to include high crimes and misdemeanors or bribery and treason. Now, Adam Schiff has accused the president of bribery, but he didn't put it in the articles of impeachment. So if Schiff thought he had a case for bribery, why didn't he put it in the articles? Because he knows he doesn't have a case for it. So it'll be interesting to see if this goes to the Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court declares the articles of impeachment unconstitutional. All right. John Ratcliffe explained that Adam Schiff is hiding the transcript of the testimony of the Inspector General Atkinson. He's the Intelligence Community Inspector General who received the whistleblower report. And Ratcliffe says it's because there's information in this transcript that Schiff doesn't want the public to know about. I'll let you listen to this interview.
There were 18 witnesses that the House prosecutors had for this, but you have not seen all 18 transcripts. Is that right?
That's exactly right, Maria. The House managers kept putting up charts talking about the 17 witnesses, but there were 18. The 18th was the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, Michael Atkinson. He was the second witness interviewed on October 4th. I was there. It's the one transcript out of 18 that hasn't been released. It's a 179-page transcript, and you can bet that if that transcript was helpful to Adam Schiff and the Democrats and harmful to President Trump, everyone would have seen it by now. But instead, it's just the opposite. It's the one transcript that talks about Adam Schiff and the whistleblower. Now, everyone knows by now that Adam Schiff was not truthful about his contacts with the whistleblower. What they don't know and what's in that transcript is that the whistleblower wasn't truthful about his contacts with Adam Schiff. This whole thing started, Maria, when a whistleblower filed a complaint with the Inspector General under penalty of perjury that wasn't true and correct, made representations in writing and then verbally that weren't true and correct. And when we found that out and tried to get into the details of that, Adam Schiff, who was in charge of this investigation, shut it down, and now he's trying to bury that transcript.
So the whistleblower was untruthful about his comments. The truth is eventually going to come out. So Q posted a link to that tweet, that's Boomer4K, and said, worth remembering. Alrighty, moving along. Today, the Department of Justice announced that it's backing off their push for jail time for General Flynn. They said they would agree to probation in the sentencing of his case. Now, Q posted a link to that, and we need to go back in history just a little bit here. On March 27th, 2018, Anon told Q he wanted General Flynn's name cleared. Free Flynn, and Q responded, done in 30, house cleaning, White House secured, final stage. This was March 27th of 2018. All right. Exactly 1 month later, the House Intelligence Committee released its report clearing the president of Russian collusion, but it also cleared General Flynn of any wrongdoing. Exactly 1 month later, 27th of March, of April. So at that time, Q posted done in 30, link to the article, why would Flynn plead guilty to something untrue, define testimony, define on the record, who knows where the bodies are buried, Flynn is safe, expand your thinking. So Q at that time let people know that General Flynn's involvement in the Mueller investigation had a purpose we would not suspect. He was testifying about corruption. Now, Q reposted this drop today and wrote, today is January 30 in brackets. Coincidences are fun. Thanks, DOJQ. So, on the 30th, on 30, done in 30, we get another little coincidence. So today, Attorney General Barr announced that he has appointed one of his closest advisors, Timothy Shea, to head the prosecutor's office in Washington, D.C. Shea is going to be replacing Jesse Liu, who has been nominated to become Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Crimes at the Treasury Department. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Q's operation, if you'd like a resource that you can give to friends and family to red pill them, I did just publish my book, Calm Before the Storm. This is a look at the early days of Q's operation. If you're not familiar with all the agencies, the names, the acronyms, and symbols that Q uses, there is a 60-page glossary in the back of the book. It is on Kindle. It is also in paperback. You can get that on Amazon right now. This book will be available on other platforms soon, but right now it is only available on Amazon. That is going to do it for today. Gets us caught up to Q. Thank you all for keeping Denise and I in prayer. Please keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Love you all. Take care, and we'll catch you on the next broadcast.